heard this already. It might be old news, but their granddaughter, Kinsey Reister, was born earlier today. And so Ken and Linda are just really proud grandparents. And so we give thanks to God for the healthy birth of Kinsey. I want to take a second just to say thank you to especially the ladies that had the shower for Sarah yesterday. And just we can't say enough how appreciative we are to all of you for your generosity and kindness. We feel like we have been called to come here and minister to you all, but, and I think this is the beauty of the church and the wisdom of God, we feel like you all do a lot more ministering to us, and we are so much better for it. And so thank you. We're just incredibly humbled by just how kind you all are to us. Can't say that enough. I want to go back to the questions that I started this morning's sermon with. I know that's been several hours ago, and there might have been a really good Sunday afternoon nap between now and a few hours ago, but there have been times in your life where you're reflecting on your relationship with God. Maybe it had been a long time since you even had paused because of the busyness of life, had paused to stop and think about your connection with God. And when you did spend time reflecting on that relationship, you discovered that you had drifted pretty far from Him. You had maybe stopped praying, stopped serving, stopped seeking to have a life that was shaped after Him. Have you had moments like that? Have you had moments when you, in your estimation, discovered that your relationship with God, at least from your perspective, was just hanging on by a thread? I know that I've had those moments in my life, and I know that we can very easily get into the rut of, as I called it this morning, the spiritual checking the box mode of a relationship with God. And so instead of there being this intimate knowing of God and seeking to have a heart like His, what it comes down to is we approach all of the activities that are involved in spirituality in a checklist type of way. And so, you know, went to worship, check. Went to Bible class, check. Went on Wednesday night, check. You know, gave to the church, check. Maybe even did a service project or two, check. And you reflect on your relationship with God, what you discover is that it's not really a relationship with God that you have. It's simply religion that is lived out for a purpose of perhaps is even self-serving. There's not an intimacy there between you and the Father. Like I said, I know I have been there at times. We're going to look at Psalm 63 this evening. And this psalm sort of allows us to peer into David's heart. And I think what we will see as we get this glimpse will inspire us. Or it did for me as I spent time this past week in Psalm 63. Verse 1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. So here you can hear the adoration in David's words. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. And how about the first little phrase in this psalm? It seems quite odd, doesn't it? In the NIV, it says, You, God, are my God. We might put that in the duh category, right? David, of all people, the king says, "You, God, are my God." But perhaps that statement is one that is full of faith and a realization of who God is and who David is in relationship with God. God, you are my God. You and you alone are my God. And I understand where I stand in this relationship with you. So perhaps it's not as odd of a statement as it seems maybe at first glance. David has a desire for God. You see it in his words here. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. Do you thirst for God? Does your whole being long for him? Verses 2 and 3. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. And then what we see starting at verse 4 is more adoration from David's mouth. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be so fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. So over and over again, David says here in Psalm 63 that he will praise God. He will worship him. He will remember God, and he will cling to God. Do you have this kind of desire for God? In verses 9 and 10, David turns to speaking of his enemies. He says, "Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals." So the enemies, David understands, will be destroyed. And two observations about what David says about the enemies. Although David has enemies, and they've made his life difficult. We know the story of David, right? It seemed like at every turn he was being pressured by his enemies. It never changed his love or commitment or adoration to God that he had enemies. He doesn't say, "Life is really tough. There must be no God." Or, "God must not love me, and so I'm not going to pursue a relationship with him." He never says that. As a matter of fact, the reality of, and you can see this all through the book of Psalms, the reality that David has enemies moves him all the more to commit his life to God. It moves him all the more to adore God for who God is. And the second realization is pretty obvious. David recognizes that God will protect him, delivering him from his enemies. David has overwhelming trust in God. Verse 11. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Back to verse 1. God, you are my God. I think it would serve all of us really well to, from time to time, make this same confession to God. God, you are my God. When we make this confession that God is our God, we are stating that other things in life are indeed not our God. And so from this confession, God, you are my God, a certain perspective in our life emerges. We come to realize, again, this is by saying, God, you are my God. We come to realize that God's love, don't you just love this line from David? God's love is better than life. If we have the love of God, do we or will we ever lack anything? Think about that. If we have the love of God, do we or will we ever lack anything. David says, your love is better than life itself. When we have our relationship with God, we are fully satisfied as with the richest of food. With God filling us with His goodness, His love, His faithfulness, why should I seek to be filled with anything else? We know that the world has all kinds of things that promise to fill us. David says he has already been filled, and he's been filled with God. And if we come to realize that there is no better place to be than in the shadow of the wings of the Lord. And when we're enveloped in the wings of the Lord, is there anything that we should be afraid of or scared of? And we are confident of the security God brings us, for God's right hand upholds us. With God's hands holding us up, again, what is there to be afraid of? David understands that God is his protector. Back to verse 1. God, you are my God. Are you God or my God? Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. So David earnestly sought the Lord, and it changed his perspective on life. In other words, it was like a lens that he looked at all of life, everything. And so all of us to continually reflect on the question, do we earnestly seek the Lord like this? How do we earnestly seek the Lord like this? So kind of changing the question a little bit, how do we earnestly seek the Lord like this? And I've got a one-word answer to that question. It's worship. It's worship. So he says, I earnestly seek you. And then David said, so he says, I earnestly seek you. And then see what he says in verse 2. I have seen you. He says, I seek you. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld or seen your power and your glory. David is speaking of worship and prayer, about encountering God. So many things take place in worship. But what I would like to highlight is that our worship is about seeking our God. Worship is about seeking God. When we worship, we are to put full attention on Him. So in seeking Him, we approach Him with the anticipation of encountering Him. We seek to know His word more fully. We seek to speak with Him in prayer. We seek to know His heart so that we can have a heart like His. See, when we seek Him, we are transformed. That's what we desire. So worship, what we see here in the context of Psalm 63, is not about ourselves. We miss the point of worship when it's about ourselves. Look at all of Psalm 63. It's all about seeking the Lord. It's about coming to know Him, to understand Him, to be transformed into His image. Again, verse 1, God, you are our God. It's not about us. I think it's important that we remember that worship is not about ourselves. So often we get into what has been termed consumeristic Christianity. And so we seek to find a church, perhaps, that will cater to us, that will have a style that will fit me, that will sound really good to me, where I'll feel comfortable and enjoy it. Now, there's some of that is okay. I don't want to just completely say that's we shouldn't focus on that. But my point for tonight is to say, look at the language there. Think of the language there. It fits me. It caters to me. It's about me. It's something that I really like. That's not worship. What worship is about? It's about God. It's about seeking Him. And an observation about singing here. Perhaps you picked up on this. Three times David mentions singing in this psalm. Verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Verse 5, I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. So David sought God with singing or through singing. We look at the Psalms again. Many of them will even have a note at the beginning of them saying that this was to be sung with an instrument, or this was a song that was written by David to God. When we sing, we praise God for who he is, which is important. But the other part of that is, as we sing, we are reminding ourselves of who we are to be in relationship with him. That's part of what we talk about when we talk about edification, right? We're encouraging one another, but we're encouraging one another to live in accordance with the way and purposes of God. And so when it comes to worship, do we come to worship seeking God, desiring to encounter him? And when we worship, are we prepared to see him? Are we prepared to see him? And as we seek him, are we ready to become more like him? To live a life that brings glory to him. And so let's kind of finish where we started. For some of us, perhaps we have drifted from him. Do feel as if our relationship with God is just hanging on by a thread. Or maybe as we think about our relationship with God, it has become check the box. Another way of putting it is we're just going through the motions. David said he earnestly sought God. He thirsted for God. His whole being longed for him in a dry and parched land where there is no water. He thirsted for God. Do you thirst for God? Do you seek him in your life? I hope that we can be a church that is just a community of seekers desiring to know more and more about God so that we can live a life that brings him glory. Tyler's going to lead us in a song here in just a moment. And as usual, if there's anybody here that tonight is ready to put Jesus on in baptism, we would love to witness you do that. If there's anybody here that needs the prayers of church family this evening, we would love to pray with you. So if you have any needs, you can come forward as we stand and we continue our time of worship.